Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for taking your time, you know, this afternoon. It's there's no way a church is going to go anywhere without people like you, you know, to give your time and your talents. And that's just part of God's plan with the local church. It's for us to, we get involved, and this is how he grows us up. Just showing up at a church, you're going to get blessed to a degree, but you're not going to be the Christian that you ought to be. You're not going to fulfill your potential without getting involved. And that's why people that don't go to a church, people say, well, I can be just as good a Christian, just listening to tapes, you know, recordings, MP3s, whatever, reading stuff at home, I can just be just as good a Christian. That's not true. You can't. We're the body of Christ. God ordained the church. And so there's a reason why we come together. We all bring something. We all nourish each other. We bring the Spirit of God is in each one of us, but he's in us collectively. And when we bring, when we come together, you're going to get something that you're not going to get just at home. And you're going to be able to, when you step into a volunteer role, you're going to be able to develop the gifts and talents that God has given you. And there will be challenges, as you guys know. There's opportunity for people to rub you the wrong way, whether it be the people you're working with or the people that you're serving. But we deal with people. People aren't always clean and tidy. Sometimes people are messy, and I'm not just talking about just, you know, cleaning stuff up physically. But that's why we're called to walk in love. We're called to serve. And as we do that in a capacity like this, you're going to see that you just keep growing. And I think, you know, many of you, as you've served, have seen that. God will continue to develop you and use you. I just want to read a scripture to you. You can mark this down. You don't have to turn there. For the sake of time, Romans 12, 4 and 6 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are in one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." That's Romans 12, 4 through 6. So we have many gifts in the body of Christ, and we ought to use what we have. And this is crucial. And just so you know, just to take a step back before we really get into this meeting, like we've talked about, but just to reiterate it here, this is for us to just get on the same page concerning volunteering, concerning what we're doing in the church, sharing the vision as far as it relates to volunteering. To touch on some things, we're going to be touching on some things again, kind of rebooting, you know, different things that have to do with serving and all that. But just as a refresher, right now we don't meet individually as teams. That may happen some point, but this serves as a point for us to all get on the same page, us all to get refreshed, all to get focused, I guess, on what we're doing and why it's important and how to do it. Proverbs 20, well, before I read that, I would read Matthew 25, 20 through 23. And we just said that gifts, that we each have gifts, but we have to use them. You can, so many people are looking for this huge ministry, or looking if they could just preach in front of thousands or have the big business or be a millionaire, and they're not willing to take the first step and do what they can do today, put their hand to the plow today, use the gifts and talents they have now. And so there's so many people that are just waiting. And honestly, I think some people think that everything's just going to get poured out, get dumped on them, that somehow God's going to visit them and say, okay, now I'm going to thrust you in front of thousands of people, or I'm going to drop this business idea and you're going to be a millionaire overnight. Usually it doesn't happen like that. I would venture to say in God's ways, never happens like that. Do those things happen? Yeah, but there's a lot of people that go down in flames too. God tries people. God grows us up one step at a time. He is the ultimate mentor. He's the ultimate manager. He's the ultimate parent. He knows how to grow people up. And how many of you know growing isn't always fun or easy? Change is not fun or easy. I mean, so many of the things we think that I want to do this out here, but I'm here, and for me to get from here to there to do what I really think I should, there's going to be change. If I can't do it today, then that means I have to change in order to do it. And that's the hard part, because so many times we say, well, I don't want to change. I want to stay right where I am. I want to do what I feel like doing today. I want to stay in my comfort zone, yet I want to do something way out there. There's no way unless we change, unless we develop, unless we grow. The good thing about God is even if he's put on our heart something that's a ways away and we say, I don't know how I could ever do that, the good thing is he's not asking us to do it today. All he's asking to do is what he's asking us to do, and to trust him that he'll add to us, and that when we get to that point, we can look back and say, okay, I can step into this. It's still going to take faith. It's not going to be like a cakewalk, but at this point, we can go forward and do things that we never would have seen ourselves doing back here. That's because he's grown us up. And so what you all are doing is part of that growth process. I want to read to you Matthew 25, 20 through 23. It says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Now listen with your heart. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice he said, you have been faithful over a few things. Now enter into more. This right here is a key to operating in the kingdom of God. It's faithfulness. It's not talent. It's not ability. It's not your good looks. It's not what so many of what the world says is important. It is faithfulness. You look throughout the Bible, God has used faithful men and women who could be trusted, because God is looking for people who he can trust. This is the way it happens most of the time in business as well. If you don't know this, people think, well, I'm a superstar. I'm just going to go to the top. I'm telling you, just because somebody has ability doesn't mean you're going to use them in certain positions unless you can trust them, unless they're faithful. What does it matter how much ability someone has if they don't show up? They could be the most talented person in any given area, but if they don't show up for the job, they're worse than somebody who has minimal ability because that person's there. If you're not here, if you're not at the job, you can't do anything, right? And God, so many people, because of the way the world is, it's backwards. People think they're looking, it glorifies talent and ability. You know, we have kids that are teenagers that are signing multi-million dollar contracts because they can do a certain physical ability. They can throw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball or whatever, or run, you know, 40-yard dash very fast. We get skewed because we see that stuff. We have people that are billionaires before they hit, you know, 30, starting companies because of their technical prowess. And so it skews our understanding, and that's what the majority of the world is looking at. But that's not so in the kingdom of God. Because God's not just looking for a quick buck. He's not looking for somebody that can just do something quick for him. He's looking to grow people up. You know, this isn't the only life we're going to live. I don't know what all it's going to look like, but when we go on to the next realm, we're going to start where we left off in this realm. That means however much we've grown, and when we've been faithful for things, we're going to go into this next realm. Isn't going to just be like, okay, everybody, stop, sit on clouds and play harps, that's it. You don't think there's other things to do? It's like everything to do is down here, but once we get to the next realm, there's nothing? I don't believe it. It's not all circled around this. No, God's going to use people he can trust in this realm. As we go step by step through what his plan for us, he's going to increase our responsibility to the measure, in the same measure that we've been faithful. And so many people just, they despise small tasks. They despise things that they believe maybe are under them. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do the big thing, but I don't want to do this. It's not so with God. If God asks us to do something, it's not small. It doesn't matter what it is. If he asks us to do it, it's not small. And this is how he promotes. This is a core of something that we really have to know as we're serving him, and as you guys are taking positions as volunteers, as you have, if you're stepping into it, that God is looking at faithfulness. He's going to reward faithfulness. And I'm going to get into this in a minute, that just doesn't mean just showing up and doing it the way you think it ought to be done. It encompasses you doing it the way it was expected you do it. And I say there's no difference. Because people say, well, that just means I'm going to show up and I'm going to do the best I know how to do, and I'm going to do it the best I think it should be done. It's not that way. Do you remember Saul? When he was king, he was supposed to follow certain ways of doing things with sacrifices and so forth, and they had won a victory, and he didn't wait to follow the proper protocol. He went ahead and did what he thought was right, and he didn't do what he was told to do. He didn't do it the way he was supposed to do. He didn't, in one instance, he didn't wipe out the people in the livestock that he was supposed to. He was supposed to kill them, and he didn't, because he said, you know, this is the way, I think this is the way it ought to be, and the people were talking, and so on and so forth. He didn't do what God had told him to do. And he was disqualified. And many people would say, well, he did what he thought he should do in that situation. Isn't that the best? I mean, if he thought it should be done a different way, he was just trying to do his job. That's not the way it is with God. And I will tell you, this is different than the world again. God, if he asks us to do something and he asks us to do it a way, he wants it done that way. And for us to say, well, I think it should be done a different way, is arrogant. You think about it. If God asks us to do it a certain way, and we come back and go, well, that's a good idea, and I believe I can improve upon it. I think we should do it this way. You guys are, I mean, you're laughing. It sounds ludicrous, but I'm telling you, in our own life, it's tempting to do this, and you will have help to do it that way. The enemy will, you know, whisper in your ear, why don't you just do it this way? It's not a big deal. It's the attitude and the heart. And what I want to get over to you is a heart of serving the Lord and doing things the way he would have it done is so important. That's true faithfulness. And when I would tell you, no matter what organization you're in, whether it's at work, you tell same thing on the job. If they ask you to do it a certain way, they say, I want it done this way. The owner of the business, and let's say you're given a certain job, he said, I want it done this way. And he comes back, and the person says, you know, I know what you said, but I thought I'd do it this way. That's not being faithful. If the owner has a reason why he's doing it that way, what do you think the employee ought to do? Do you think he ought to come up with a different way, or do you think he ought to do it the way the guy wants it done? He ought to do what he was asked to do. Now, is that saying he couldn't come up with a better way to do it? No. But that ought to be discussed and asked, not assumed, like Saul. Right? And I'm telling you, no matter where you go, this will be a temptation. And so, as we're growing and as we're developing here in this church, one of the things I want to get over to you as volunteers is that when you're volunteering here or you go anywhere, if God moves you on and you volunteer, you go to a different church somewhere, you know, in a different state or whatever, if you will come and volunteer with your heart, be faithful, and when whatever you're asked to do, say, that's the way I'm going to do it, that's the way you want it, I'm going to do it that way, whether I agree or not, you will be a blessing wherever you go. You will be promoted in jobs wherever you go in the secular realm, because what do they say? I asked him to do it. I came back. He did it just what I asked. You're dependable. You're faithful. I'm promoting you. If you deal with a person, and if any of you have managed, you know this. If you ask a person, even if they're smart, even if they're gifted, if you're always dealing with them, you ask them to do something, but they always have a different way to do it. They always have another idea. They never want to do what you ask them to do. That's a difficult person to deal with. You would much rather deal with some person that doesn't necessarily have as much talent, but will do what you ask them to do. Right? Because if there's a reason why you're asking them to do it that way, and they may not see the reason why you're asking them to do it that way. And they may say, well, I see a better way. And what they don't realize is if they do it this other way, it's actually interfering with something else that you have already taken care of. And so they're actually hindering the process instead of helping the process. And the world sees this. And so as we get in, as we're growing, and kind of getting ahead of myself here, let's see. Yeah, this kind of segues right into, I mean, they go together. But, you know, as we're developing, one thing I want to get into and touch on a little bit today is the subject of submission and authority. And so this is a key thing to understand in the kingdom of God. Because if we're serving the Lord, we are under His authority. And let me just say this. This subject has been, just like every subject in the body of Christ, it's either people go over here on the subject or in the ditch on this side of the road, or they go right, cross the road, go all the way over into this ditch. And I will tell you, in this subject, I've seen people, people have taken this too far. People have been where they take it way over on the one side with submission and authority. It's basically like command and control. You do what I say. It's my way or the highway. Very authoritarian, very demeaning. Can be very demeaning, very, you know, condescending. That's over here. On the other hand, you have people that are like, what authority? Ooh, everybody's equal. Doesn't make any difference who's in charge. We're all smart. We all have ability. We don't need leaders. And this is what the world says. You know, they have derogatory terms for police officers, for the government officials. There is, you know, teachers. You tell me, who are you to tell me what? Anything. And it's slipped a lot in our society. There isn't so much respect for authority. There isn't so much respect for people. Parents. You know, it starts at home, and this is the reason why it's gotten to be where it is. But, you know, even in jobs, it's like that nobody's in charge. Nobody has to be in charge. We can all just do whatever, and we'll come up with the right decision as a group. That's nonsense. That's not in the Bible. If you go look at the way God and the army was organized, there was people that were over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens and whatever. You look at how things were divided up. Even when you fed the 5,000 or 4,000, he mentions that they had them sit down in groups before he fed them. There is organization in the kingdom of God. And there is a hierarchy. And people, our flesh doesn't like that. Do you know that? I didn't have to tell you that, right? Our flesh does not like that. Our flesh does not want to be told to do what to do. It doesn't want to hear you tell it what to do. You know, you just tell your flesh, we're not eating that anymore. Not eating that one thing, you're not eating it anymore. And see what your flesh says about that. See how much you want to eat that one thing, even though maybe you haven't touched it. Go try it sometime. You haven't touched this thing for, you know, a month. And then you go and say, you know what? You're not eating that ever again. See how much your flesh wants to eat that one thing that you could not have cared less about a month earlier. So when we're told to do something, we don't like it. And it's the same thing. We're in this world. And so we come to church, and it wants to be the same way. You know, we don't want to be told what to do. It's okay, I want to do it my way. But I will tell you, in God's realm, it comes back to this. We don't have, as Christians, we don't get to determine what we do. Did you know that? It's not about my plan. It's not about your plan. It's about His plan. You know, we can't just treat each other any way we want. I mean, you can do it. I'm saying, according to the Word of God, you can't just treat each other any way you want. We don't have the right to do it because we've been bought with a price. And so when we come to church, when we're interacting with the Lord, He tells us what area we should be in. He tells us where we should be and what we should do. It doesn't really matter what your abilities are. What matters is what He told you to do. But you say, but this person, man, they're so good. They're so talented in this area. They obviously ought to be here. Not so. It's not true. It's what did God say? See, people get this confused all the time. Like in the world, they say, oh man, if this person can sing, if they ever got saved, they would be such a blessing in the body of Christ. Says who? God is not going to magnify somebody's ability unless it's submitted to Him. He's not going to say, oh, look, this person, they're so great, I'll use them. No, they're going to have to die to that, if anything, and submit it to the Lord, and then it can be used. It's the same thing with all of us. So we have to submit ourselves to the Lord. And part of submitting ourselves to the Lord is submitting ourselves to people. And I know we don't like to hear that. Some people will say, well, I'm fine submitting to God, I just don't like people. I could deal with the Lord. I don't like being around people. And I can submit to the Lord, but I can't submit to people. There's a problem there because we're dealing with people here on this earth, right? We're dealing with people. Everybody you deal with is going to be a person here. You're going to deal with the Lord. But did you notice in the first scripture we read, it talks about the body of Christ? Who's the head of the body of Christ? Okay. So you imagine the body of Christ. What if you're a hand in the body of Christ? Does your hand, let's say physically, does your hand talk directly to your brain, to the head? What if the hand said, enough of this? I want to talk to the head. Forget you, forearm. Forget you, bicep, shoulder, neck. I want to talk to the head. How's that going to work out? Huh? Huh? But isn't that what a lot of Christians are doing? Both with God. I'll deal with the Lord. Or I'll deal with the guy in charge. I want to deal with the pastor. But I don't want to deal with anybody in between. I go to the pastor, right? What if your little toe decided that's the way it's going to operate from now on? I'm going to deal with the head only. If I don't talk to the head, not receiving any signals from the brain. Not going to talk to the foot or anything. I just want to hear directly from the brain. What does that mean? He's cut off because if he can't receive from the foot, he's in trouble. Because he's connected to the foot. And in our body, in the body of Christ, we're connected to somebody. We're connected to a local body, right? This is not popular. I mean, where the world is and where the body of Christ is, this is not popular. People say, I want to hear directly from God. I'm not saying you don't hear from God on some things. What I am saying is there are some things that are going to come through the local body that aren't going to come directly to you. They are. And when you're dealing with the body, you're going to find your place in the body. And what we're talking about right here is part of that, being a a volunteer in some area, and it's not something that we just said, you know what, I'm going to spin the wheel and that's where I'm going. It shouldn't be. You know, you put all those papers in a big circle and you go roll some dice and see what happens, or roll a spinner and see, okay, there we go. That's what I'm doing. Ushers. It's my area. We ought to go to the Lord, but we also, if you notice, those of you that are volunteering at this point, we've talked to most of you, well, all of you at this point, about being in a certain area. We came to you and said, would you serve in this area? Now, you see what the Lord is saying to you, but this is what we see. Because we've walked with you, and this is why when people come into the church, we don't just say, hey, you over there, go serve. We say, you know, people come and say, hey, where can I get involved? And we say, and you guys will probably attest to this, just sit for a while. Just sit and just see what the direction of the church is, and get a vision or catch where the heart of the church is and the vision of the church. Sit in some sermons. Sit there and let God start speaking to you. And he's going to be speaking to us. And as we get to know you, the Bible says to know those that labor among you. As we get to know you and you get to know us, then we'll get a sense of, well, maybe you fit here. And especially at this level where we are, we know all of you guys. You have several thousand people. There's going to be layers like that. But right now, you know, Shelley or myself will talk to you about a certain area. We're not saying you have to be in this area. We'll talk to you about it and say, what do you think about this? And then you'll get involved and go. Well, that came not directly necessarily from the Lord, but that came through the local body. At some point, and we're going to have leaders in each of these areas. So in other words, right now, pretty much all of you report to Shelley. But that won't always be. There will be somebody that's over the toddlers, somebody that's over the children, somebody that's the head usher, somebody that's the head greeter. And that's the person that you'll report to. And when I say report to, that you'll talk to, and we'll probably at some point make schedules, and that will bring people on, and so on and so forth. And it won't be Shelley. It won't be myself. And frankly speaking, some people won't like that. When we come in, that's why I'm sharing my heart with you guys, because we've been around long enough and I've read the word and I know the devil is the same everywhere. And he's going to try to get in there, and he works the same way through all the whole world. He tries to create division. He tries to create strife. He tries to get people mad at each other. He tries to get people to think, well, I think it should be done this way, and if it's not done this way, then frankly, I'm just going to leave, and I'm going to go somewhere else where they do it my way. Some people are looking for the perfect church, and like you've heard it said, if it were perfect, the minute any one of us showed up, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. There is no perfect church. And so the devil tries to get in here and divide. And if we just understand what the Word of God teaches on some of these things, we'll be better armed that when we get in situations or we hear certain thoughts, that we'll recognize the source. And we'll say, okay, I know what this is. This is trying to divide. Let me read you some scripture on this. Submission and authority in this area. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That doesn't mean everybody in every position of authority is ordained by God. It means authority and authorities have been put into place by God. And they have. That's why it's important to obey the laws of the land. Some people think, well, I don't need to obey that law. That doesn't matter. What does it say here? It says, those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And it's the same thing. As we get going, right now, in the church, there's going to be temptation to balk at authority. And like I said, you know, even bringing up this subject, if you've been around the body of Christ for a while, I mean, submission to authority ran wild for a while, and so some people don't even want to hear those terms. But it's the same thing. Some people don't want to hear prosperity because it ran wild for a while. Some people don't want to hear deliverance because it ran wild. Just because somebody took it and ran it into the wall does not mean it's not valid. It's because that the devil loves that. You're going to take somebody, just run it into the wall, and then forget the truth altogether, like it doesn't exist. You can do the same thing with healing. People have gone flaky with healing, done stupid stuff, give healing, divine healing, a bad name. So submission and authority is the same way. And I'm well aware, if some of you have been around long enough, you maybe bristle at it. You know, be honest, I was in that similar place at one point. I had heard enough about it. I've seen people just take it where it's almost like I'm superior to you. It's quite the opposite. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you're going to be the servant of all. So somebody that truly understands authority is not going to lord it over you. But there is authority. And with that authority comes responsibility. In other words, somebody that is dealing with a certain level of authority, you have the responsibility whether it's going to go right or wrong. So they have to have the authority in order to make things work. And so as we... right now and going forward, when somebody that would be over you, we would say in the structure, that doesn't mean they're a greater Christian than you. That doesn't mean they're better than you as a human being. What that means is, in that structure, they have a position that is that you're subordinate to. That's all it means. And if you've ever worked in a job, you understand this. There is somebody that's your manager or boss. That doesn't mean they're better than you as a person. It just means they have the responsibility to run the organization that you're a part of. And that person probably has somebody over them. That, again, doesn't mean that they're superior. That means they have a responsibility to somebody else to run an organization. And what we, as the body of Christ, what we have to understand is like this church. I've been given the responsibility to be the pastor of this church. That means I answered to God for what happens in this church. And I don't take it lightly. And so if I am going to him, and I don't do all the things that I just want to do because I want to do them. We do our best to get the plan from the Lord and then go forth, and then we're going to implement things underneath us. And you could criticize what we do. I'm sure we're not doing it perfectly. I know we're not. But we're doing it with the ability that God has given us and with where we are in the growth of the church and everything, and that will continue to grow over time. But what the enemy would like is to cause division. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm not addressing anything specific. This is just, like I said, we're talking about general principles that we would go over in these type of meetings. So that we're armed. So that we're armed with knowledge going forth. And that we know how the enemy operates. But we'll ask you guys to do things a certain way. And when we ask you to do it that way, that's the way we would expect that it would be done. And then if you have suggestions, we're open to them. But just know that we may not take the suggestion. And you just have to understand that. Some people get offended when you don't take their suggestion. And some people, just be careful of this. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here. We'll touch on things that we need to touch on it. And I said this before, but this bears repeating. It's tempting when you have a suggestion to back it up with, God told me. God told me, I think the Lord's speaking to me about doing it this way. So, think about the structure. If God has asked me to start to run this church, and if I've asked somebody else to do a certain area of the church, to be the leader of, let's say, the children's, and then somebody in the children's decides, I think we should do it different, and comes to the person that's over them and says, God's telling me we need to do this way. Now, what does that mean about God coming down and telling the pastor what should be done, him telling the children's minister, and then telling? It creates this automatic confrontation that you say, God told me. Well, if God told you, then, well, who am I going to argue with God? If God really said it, then let's do it. But it's the case is it's not always God. And so we have to understand that God will operate top down. Does that mean that people won't take suggestions? No. What that means is if there's a suggestion, that doesn't mean that that's the only way to do it and that the leader, whoever it is, might say, you know what, thank you for the suggestion. We'll think about that and get back and say we're not going to implement that. And we all have to be okay with that. Are you guys all right with this? I know we're talking about the nitty-gritty, but this is how people get in there and split churches. This is how people create division. And what can happen is that somebody who has an idea, they think it should be done this way. They think it should be run this way. And so they say, hey, I think it should be run this way. They make a suggestion maybe. It's not done. And then they go to other people and start saying, I don't know why they did it that way. I think it should be done this way. And that is devilish. Let me tell you, if you ever catch yourself you starting to tell somebody else what you don't like and what it should be done, just know you're giving your mouth to the devil right there. Period. If you have something that you want to discuss, you should discuss it with the person over. God says, the Bible says, go to the person. If you've, and that's dealing with issues, go to them and talk to them. It's sometimes harder in the flesh to do that, but even on your job. You'll find, instead of going to your coworker and telling them, go to your boss if that's who you're dealing with and just tell them point blank what you think. You'll find so many times the air will clear. You'll have a heart-to-heart conversation. You'll see where they're coming from, why they're doing stuff. And that's the type of culture, if you say it that way. It's Christian, but that's what I want to emphasize here, is that we do things. We're open. We can talk about stuff. If there's an area, if somebody has a suggestion, we want to hear it. Just know that we may not implement it, but let's talk about it. Because so many times we'll see one little section of the area. We don't see the bigger picture. And so we think this would be a good idea, but we don't see how it would impact other things if I did it that way. And so if we'll just keep that communication open, it will be so much better. Let me go over a couple things here. Read another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them from very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Let me just run through a couple of these bullets. I think I covered all those, actually. So just know and hear my heart on this. Some of these things are things that people would rather not talk about and just sweep to the side. And from the beginning, when we've talked to people, and some of you, when we first put you into position, some of our first volunteers, we would just have these conversations in a small group. And that's what'll happen, you know, probably eventually as we have leaders over each group. But definitely as we talk, we'll talk to you about some of these things as we put you in anyway. Even now, you probably talk about some things. But the reason we're doing this meeting is to put some of these principles out and just talk about them and say, look, this is the way the enemy operates. This is what the Bible says about it. And in a meeting like this, it's so easy, and this is, everybody will say, oh yeah, that's the way it should be done. But the thing is, if somebody does get offended, and you find, and just let's talk in first person, if you find yourself getting offended about something, it's then that you don't actually want to have any conversation. Does anybody know what I mean? This is how people leave churches. When they come in, they say, oh, everything is good, man. And if you were to say something like this to them, they'd say, oh, if I ever have a problem, I got it, man. I'll come talk to you. We'll have a heart-to-heart, and we'll solve it. What happens is, people get offended at something, and when they're offended, it'll sound something like this. Man, if I talk to them, they would not hear it anyway. They can't see it anyway. They don't know any better. And plus, they probably are doing this on purpose to me, and they're probably preaching on that because, you know, they know that I'm supposed to do it, and they just don't have the guts to come and tell me face to face. And I'm just, forget it, I'm leaving. And they won't have the conversation, and they won't come and talk and actually clear the air. This is how it happens. Has anybody been around long enough to know that this is what happens? People do not actually want, it is takes much more courage to sit down and to say, this is the way I'm seeing things. You know, I'm feeling hurt about it. You said this or this. I just want to come to you and hear your side of the story. But let me tell you, if you'll do that, you will find so many times that the person did not mean to say anything to you, that they're not even conscious of the fact that they said anything to you that would hurt you, that they actually had a different motive when they were doing something else that offended you, or this was actually a different thing that they were approaching and it just happened you misunderstood. And so many incidents like this would be handled by communication. And that's why we're sharing this. And it won't be the last time that we share this, because there will be new people in every time. But if we keep talking, and as people come into the group, you know, like a smaller group, and they have a leader and whatever, and we promote this type of thing, the enemy isn't going to give up and run away. But if we'll actually walk this out and do it, it makes it much more difficult for the enemy to operate. It basically comes down to walking in love. But let me tell you something, one more thing. Walking in love does not mean you have to keep your mouth shut and just do everything that somebody else says when you misunderstand somebody. I encourage you, because some people have the mentality, well, I just got to put blinders on. I'm just going to do this and put up with it. Sometimes you do need to do that, and sometimes the problem is with you and God's working it out. Other times, you need to go and talk about it. And say, you know what? Look, this is the way I saw it. I may have misunderstood something, but hey, I want to bring this up. Just because we're Christians, just because we're supposed to walk in love, does not mean you keep your mouth shut and never have a conversation that might be tense with somebody. In fact, it takes a lot of courage to do that. You might be walking in love the strongest when you're doing something like that, because it would be easier for you just to let it go. So I just encourage you, take that to heart. We are open. You know, we love you guys, and we want the best for you. We want the best for this organization, and we will be honest with you. I don't have a problem with having, you know, one-on-one discussions with people, even if they're hard to have. I will tell you, I will not try to correct you from the pulpit. I'm saying I will preach on what God has told me to preach on. And some people say, well, he's talking to me. He's bringing that up because he knows something about me. I will tell you, I don't even think about your situations when I'm up there. And half the time, I'll become aware of something afterwards that I said, and I was not thinking about somebody's individual situation. And if I had, I would have had to struggle with my head to not say it. Because when I'm up there, it's like if half the time if I thought, oh, this person's dealing with this and I'm saying this, I'd be like, oh, you can't say that. Sometimes afterwards I'll say, oh, man, I said that and that person was right there. And honest to God, it was not anywhere in my mind. And I'll tell Shelly that. I'll be like, good night, I said that. And I was not, and that person probably, I bet you they think I was directing it right at them, and I was not thinking about them. And you know what else I found? Is there's times I have been conscious, and I'm like, if I say that, that person's going to think that I'm talking to them. And I'll say, but I believe I'm supposed to go this direction, and I'll say it. And it had nothing to do with this person, this other person that I had no clue was going through something, comes up to me after the service and says, oh, I'm so glad you said that. So what if I had shut up and not say it and used my mind to circumvent it? Our person wouldn't have been blessed. So I've learned just to go with the Holy Ghost, but I just know my heart, I am not. If I have something to deal with you, I will come to you. If you hear me preaching something from the pulpit, it's because I feel like that's the direction that we're supposed to go as a congregation, not you specifically. I will not talk to 60 people when I'm really talking to one. All right, let me cover a few of these things really quick. Not really quick. I'm supposed to talk down. Okay, said all that. I just want to run through kind of a reboot on basic expectations, you know, for all the areas. So like I said, this is our meeting to align. I know we've gone over some of these things. This is just an ability to say, okay, let's all come back and say these are the things that we should be doing on a regular basis. Like I said, at some point you may have like team discussions. These things can be gone over at a certain level, and that would be they would be refreshed, and it's easier to deal with on that level. Right now, frankly, we don't have the resources to have, you know, a monthly meeting with the greeters and a monthly meeting with the children's and so on and so forth. So let me run through these real quick. Sometimes the best place to help is where help is needed the most. And like we talked about, that if you'll just go where God has, where, you know, sometimes we're asking you to do something. Will you do this? Well, again, like the whole body example, we may be asking you to do it, but that's because we feel like this is a need. And really, you need to look at that as the Lord asking you. That doesn't mean, we'll ask you, say, what do you think? But take it into consideration that when we're asking you as the head of this body, that the Lord himself is, if we're being led, then he's in fact asking you. But we will always talk it over with you. So again, don't put on tunnel vision and say, oh, well, I must have to do that even though I don't think I should do it. Talk to us about it, and let's talk it over. Make sure you esteem what you're doing in the church. Don't think that other areas are more important. Same thing with the whole body example. It's so easy, you know, the word says it itself, you know, for the eye to think they don't need the hand and whatever. If you're a hand, be the best hand that you can be. And do it as well as you can be. Don't worry about the other areas. If you're an usher, be the best usher. Don't worry about the children's. Don't compare. Value the people you're working with. It's important to see them the way God sees them. Don't take them for granted. That includes the people you're ministering to. Esteem them as well. Be on time. Treat your volunteer position like you would a job or anything else that's important to you, because you are doing this as unto the Lord. So when you come, pretty much almost all the areas are 10 o'clock. Please be here by 10 o'clock and ready to start at 10 o'clock. Be prepared. Whatever is necessary to do your job, have it ready ahead of time. So just, again, if there was a different job, if something for your work, same thing. Just approach it with that same same preparation. Stay the whole time. Don't leave early unless you have communicated with the leader that there is a conflict. For example, in the children's areas, make sure you stay 15 minutes after service to ensure children are safe while the parents are picking them up. Ushers, hospitality, church library, housekeeping will be staying for a period of time after church. And that's why we have these pieces of paper that go over the responsibilities to communicate that, and then when we bring you on, we'll communicate that again. But this is just kind of at a general level to communicate this. Clean up. If your area is messy when things are finished, take the time to clean it up before you leave. Pick up water bottles, vacuum if necessary, until we have the housekeeping set up. That goes a long way. Be on call, whether it's your week or not. Love on the people you're ministering to. If you are a greeter and someone is new, but it's not your week, talk with them. If you work with the youth, make it a point to talk with them on Sundays too. If you're working with children, say hi or give a hug, even on the off Sundays. And then one more thing, stepping down. If you would like to step down from an area, talk to Shelley or the leader in person, please. Email or text is not good for this. We talked about that some last time. Email and text are good for some things, and they're absolutely horrible for other things. If there's any, you know, it's great for saying, hey, I'll be there at such and such time, or communicating things that are kind of neutral like that. If it's something that can be misunderstood, if it's something that has an impact on other people, it's best to do it in person so you can talk it over and there's no hurt feelings. There's no, I mean, you minimize that. It's so easy to misconstrue something done in text. It's very hard to communicate emotion in text, as you guys all well know if you've heard, receive certain emails or texts. On the phone, too. On the phone, it can be. And the phone's better than those two. Person is the best. Give enough notice for us to find a replacement. So, in other words, you know, if you feel like it's time to take a break, please don't let us know the week before you're scheduled. You know, give us some time to get a replacement. That would greatly help us, just like you would if you were stepping down from a position at work. If you're feeling less excited about an area, please talk with us. It may be that you're going through a rough spot and need to keep going, or it may be that it's time for you to move on. I will tell you this, if you sign up for certain areas, pretty much any area, and if it's the Lord that wants you to do it, if you're going to grow through it, there will be a time where there's something that you don't want to do, something that you don't like, and that's just part of it. And if you quit every time that happens, you're not going to get the growth part of it. So sometimes it just means that you're just going through a rough patch. Keep steady. If you've been doing it for a while, it may be that God's moving you on, and that's okay. That's okay. Just talk to us about it, and we'll talk about it. Maybe we have something that, from our point of view, that we could say that would help you in that decision-making. And then also, right now, Shelley touches base twice a year with everybody going into the fall and right before summer. So at the beginning of kind of the school year and at the end of the school year, she'll touch base to say, are you where you want to be? Is it you want to keep doing this? Do you want to change areas? Do you have any ideas? And so right now we're doing it like that. Yeah, well, just again, thank you guys for your time Sunday afternoon. Thank you for listening. Just so appreciative that you guys are hooked up and that you're giving your time and talents to help move forward what God has given us to do for Andover Christian Center. And so let's just close with a word of prayer.